then 450,000 go out to watch it. And so the protest has become self-evidently counterproductive. And I think the reason for that is not because protest itself is self-evidently counterproductive, but because the manner in which these protests are conducted is so reprehensible that they invalidate themselves merely by being viewed. So, for example, at the McMaster event, the way people are protesting against them is to shield themselves behind the banner with the hammer and sickle, which I don't think is a really good public relations move, and to yell profane cliches at me and use bullhorns while I was attempting to have a reasonable discussion. Well, it turns out that doesn't play very well on social media. And so I think the reason that this event isn't signed by the protesters is because possibly the people who are involved in organizing such things have learned that it's not actually a very good idea from a strategic perspective.
On your end, kind of what it seems to be a lot of times, the conversation around you seems to be what is the line between free speech and being at this event here today, where do you draw that line?
Well, that isn't actually the issue. The issue is who defines hate speech. That's the real issue, because the answer is whoever wants to, and that's a really bad answer, because you can be sure that there are people out there who would determine that things that you like to think and believe would constitute hate. There's no reason that they can't sure have the upper hand. The reason you tolerate hate speech isn't because there's no such thing as hate speech. Obviously, there's such a thing as hate speech. The reason that you tolerate hate speech or you don't drive it underground is because it's even more dangerous to allow people to define what it is, because what they do then is use it in every way possible to shut down everyone who doesn't agree with exactly what they think and say. And we're seeing that happen. We're really seeing it happen on the left, which I think is something absolutely remarkable, is that, you know, so you imagine on the left end of the spectrum, there's still a continuum. And the people who are really being torn to shreds by the real jackals of the radical left aren't the centrists or the right-wingers, not at all. It's the people who aren't quite as far left as they are. And so you can see there that the definitions of what constitutes hate speech are so flexible that people can use them against those who by any reasonable judgment, would be regarded as their close allies. And so it isn't that there's no line between free speech and hate speech, and it isn't even that there's no such thing as reprehensible hate speech. It's that reprehensible hate speech is the price you pay for freedom of communication. And the freedom of communication is so valuable, especially for people who are disenfranchised, that the peripheral damage caused by self-refuting hate speech is trivial in comparison. And I truly believe that, because most of the time what you see is that the people who really hate and do it in an impulsive and incoherent way, all you have to do is shine some light on what they're saying and let them reveal themselves for who they are, and their popularity plummets to zero very rapidly. And you want that to happen. So, but, you know, to bring it back to the beginning, the problem with the idea of there shouldn't be hate speech is, okay, no problem. Who defines what constitutes hate speech? And that's actually a fatal flaw, because you can't give someone that power. Even if you gave someone benevolent that power, someone who actually had the judgment to make a distinction between productive speech and hateful speech, what would happen is that person would be forced out of that position very rapidly by one means or another, and the people who would occupy that position would be exactly the sort of people that you would never want to have define hate speech. And that's exactly what's happening on campuses, where the clarion call of hate speech is being used to shut down any sort of speech that doesn't go along with the whims and desires of the loudest, most obnoxious, and most organized. So not a good precedent.
Last question wanted to touch on.
I got to get another day.
Doctor, in your opinion, do we have a free press in Canada?
Do we have a free press? Well, yes, but it depends on what you mean. I mean, you're free to put anything you want on YouTube. That's pretty free. So the press otherwise is constrained in many ways, and I know that many people in the mainstream press now are afraid to say what they think. And I know that because I've talked to 20 of Canada's top journalists in the last month, especially in the aftermath of the cultural appropriation scandals, and they all have told me the same thing, which is that they're censoring themselves and that they're afraid that they'll be censored from the top down. So,
yeah. George, you're so good.
media.
Sure.
You don't.
Sure.
Yeah, we just have one
more question. Yeah. Right, let's do. Yeah. Oh, you're waiting for.
He's just. Yeah. He's about. I kind of wanted to ask you about talk about the students being doctorate and.
Yeah.
Well, that people should stop enrolling in. Yeah, that's the right solution as far as I can tell.
Solution to?
Well, the solution to the fact that the university is doing nothing but training very large cadres of people who are indoctrinated into the most modern world of the world as activists to spread that particular doctrine. Not helpful. Not helpful for the students. It's a very impractical set of skills. It's also something that makes them quite nihilistic and depressed, generally speaking. It's generous. It's certainly not helpful to broader society. It's just producing divisions, and the divisions are multiplying very, very, very rapidly. So, and I just can't see that as a good thing. You know, so.
Okay. Last question. Talk to me a little bit about so there are some areas of studies at school that you would like to refresh.
Well, I'd like to see students stop attending. So what I want to do is produce a series of educational videos and some technologies that will help students rapidly identify course content that's basically part of the postmodern neo-Marxist cult, and encourage the students not to enroll in those courses and to explain why. They're going to learn a doctrine that anybody can pick up in about a week. It's a very straightforward and simple doctrine. It can be applied to every situation, which is one of the hallmarks of an ideology that's oversimplifying things, let's put it that way. And that I want to also help the students avoid courses that are going to, I would say, make them nihilistic and cynical and undermine them psychologically and not equip them for any genuine function in the world outside the university.
Courses so, like...
Well, virtually anything that's taught in women's studies or any of the ethnic studies groups of that sort, anything that's predicated on identity politics, since I think those are certain disciplines. And then I would also say that disciplines like English literature and sociology and anthropology and even to some degree law, as well as the faculties of education, have become almost irredeemably corrupt. And so we're going to figure out how to assess that, because that can be assessed technically. Do they do the courses? Are the people who are establishing the courses using the language that's indicative of possession by the postmodern ideology? That can be, machines can learn how to do that distinction, so it can be done completely objectively, and then provide information to students about how to avoid those courses, those professors, and those disciplines. And I can't see any other way of shutting it down. It's shutting it down by the removal of public demand. So that's the plan.
Because they're super one-sided, is what you're saying, that they...
They're more than one-sided. They're one-sided and dangerous. One-sided is dangerous to begin with because, you know, you can't ignore half the world. It will continually hit you if you ignore it. So one-sided is bad. Left or right doesn't really matter. If it's ideologically motivated and it's unidimensional, it's bad because the world's too complex to be simplified in that manner. But more so is that the universities aren't offering to the students what the students think they're going to get. And many, many people write me and tell me exactly that, that it's taken them years to recover from their university education. And that's a hell of a thing for people to say.
What should the students get versus what they're getting now?
They should learn to read. They should learn to write. They should learn to speak. They should learn to think. And they should familiarize themselves with the central documents of the culture. And perhaps of many cultures, but at least to begin with the culture that they happen to inhabit. And that's what the humanities were supposed to do. The humanities were there to turn people into wise, productive citizens, right? Not screaming activists. And so, and that is what they're doing, and that's what they say they're doing, although they admit the screaming part. That just seems to come along with the training. So.
Anything else you wanted to add?
No.
Professor Peterson, my name is Danny Arab. Yeah. Nice to meet you. Yeah. I'm a student from Queen's University, and I wanted to just mention that I wanted to watch your presentation, your lecture in Queen's University, and I did not know it happened.
I know
it even was, happened. It wasn't advertised well. It was very, very like minimized to a small group of people to watch the debate between.
It was to stop protests.
Yes, and that was very, very disappointing. And even this year, when we had the conservative leadership race, and when a lot of the conservative leaders came to Queen's University and they wanted to have their speeches in Queen's University, every time there's somebody wearing black dress, like covering his face,
Yep.
Getting in with a black flag and then jumping in the middle and like saying racist,
yep.
homophobic, whatever. And that guy, I know him. He's actually even my friend on Facebook. And that individual was even claiming that him wearing black and covering himself is like niqab. In Islam,
right.
which is like, oh, am I, like, he was like fighting with other security guards that to prove that it's fine to be jumping in events and doing things like that. What I want to say at the bottom.
Okay, hang on, let me stop you for a sec, okay, because I have to talk to Jay because he's arranged to do that.
Yes.
And I want to listen to Ben, but if you want to talk to me after this, then we can continue our discussion.
Please, yes, please.
Okay, so let's do that, all right? But I want to talk to Jay and then I have to go in because I want to hear Shapiro speak and that's going to be in like... What is it? In like
10 minutes.
Yeah, but final sentence is that I'm gonna be the leader of the Queen's Students for Liberty for next year, and I'm going to be inviting you and Mr. Ben Shapiro to a debate in Queen's campus, and we want to try to make it as civilized as possible with no social justice warriors jumping in the debate. So I'm really hoping that you would accept our invite.
Good luck to you and your organization. We can talk about that further. You can contact me online.
All right, perfect. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Oh, okay.
We're not together. Okay,
I just want to ask one question.
No, let me talk.
Sorry.
Okay, because I have a deadline.
He's been here. He's been here.
Like, Jay,
he's been waiting.
So
I did arrange. If you want to do it after in the green screen room, that's fine. I don't mind. But yeah.
We can do it in the green screen room. No, let's do it.
If we do it now,
we'll get it done.
All right, great. Yeah, get done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Really?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Excuse me.
I'd be happy to talk to you, but I did promise.
But I have a deadline. You don't. Okay.
Okay. So how long is your question?
Just one question.
One question.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No problem. One question.
I just wanted to know when all this website stuff is going to start. Is it for this fall? How are you going
to
get it up?
I hope to get it started before this. Yeah. The website's already in its beta version, and I'll get the videos up before then.
Okay. Yeah. And it's just to tell people not to go to those specific courses?
It's to help people make an informed decision about which courses they want to take. So at least they can identify what the content of the course is to begin with. Okay. And it helps them make a more informed decision. If they still want to go to those courses, it's like more power to them, but at least they are informed then.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Corporate media bullies.
Let's do it.
Hey, I'm Jay Faze of Rebel.media. I'm right now here at the Freedom Summit with the one and only Jordan Peterson, an intellectual giant. Thank you for talking to me, Jordan Peterson.
No problem.
In one of the things that you really stressed about was postmodernism and how it's been affecting the schools.
Yeah.
But you also talked about how it was affecting the legal system.
Yeah.
Can you just briefly talk about Bill C-16 and also Bill 89, but also how it's affected law students, how it's affected the law school curriculum, and what we as Canadians can expect in the future?
Okay, so what I see happening, and you have to understand that this is not a particular area of expertise of mine, so I'm just starting to pick up bits and pieces of what's happening in the legal realm. But one of the things you see, for example, is that the policies that have granted the social justice tribunals power in Ontario in the policies, in the formal policies, there's a statement that those tribunals are allowed to suspend normal jurisprudential principles.
Yeah.
Now, you see this sort of thing popping up all sorts of places. You also see it with the new sexual harassment and assault laws that are now being pushed forward at a federal level but already exist provincially and that are being put in places in universities and turning the universities in part into quasi-judicial inquisitions. Mm. Is that, for example, they're introducing the principle of preponderance of evidence instead of innocence until proven guilty.
Right.
And so there are these... And the reason for that, as far as I can tell, is that the postmodern critique of the Western legal system is that it's an oppressive patriarchal institution in its essence and as a consequence.
But are these for criminal cases or for civil or tort law, those types of cases?
Well, at the moment, mostly it's a good question.
Yeah.
It spans different dimensions, I would say, because, for example, in the universities where sexual harassment and assault cases will be tried, it's not even a judicial system at all. It's a quasi-judicial system, and in the social justice tribunals, I'm afraid I don't exactly know what domain of law that practice falls under. So I can't answer that question properly.
Okay.
But what I see are are tendrils shooting up through the foundations of the Western legal system that are predicated on the idea that it's okay to dispense with the fundamental presuppositions because they're basically racist and patriarchal and systemically oppressive in their essential nature. And so that justifies dispensing with them in the name of a higher order good, which is always something like equity and social justice.
Yeah.
And the equity thing is extraordinarily dangerous. That's really raised its head mostly up in the last three or 4 years. And so, well, so I would say Canadians for the first time, certainly in my span of existence, have to start watching what their legislators and their courts are doing, because the things that they're doing actually run contrary to the principles that Canadians have come to expect and rely on as part and parcel of the freedoms they just take for granted. We're not in a position in Canada anymore where we could take the stability, the continued stability of our legal system and the freedoms that that's granted us for granted.
Yeah.
And for example, you know, we elected Liberal governments both in Quebec or in Ontario and federally, and it turns out that those governments really aren't liberal. They're not liberal like the classic liberals were. They're actually very radically left. And the left has done, the radical left has done an extraordinarily good job of invading even moderate power structures and tilting them far in that direction.
Mm.
And so it would be a good thing if people woke up and started to notice that was happening.
Yeah, I actually talked to Steve Trilokas, who's right now in the courtroom trials. He doesn't want his daughter being taught gender identity and all that crap.
Yeah.
And he does it for religious convictions, but I imagine there are a lot of other people who would say, I don't agree with this whole normalizing transgenderism and dysphoria within elementary schools. I mean, where do you see the curriculum changing right now? And you were talking about high school students, all right? You talked about creating a program for high school students.
It's all the kindergarten. It's in from kindergarten upward.
Yeah.
And the issue is, the thing is, with regards to the issues that you just described, let's say issues of sexual identity, you can have a discussion about how those might be handled. There's a completely separate discussion that might be had about when those things should be introduced.
Mm.
And as far as I'm concerned, having discussions about such things as sexual identity or sexual proclivity or sexual activity, for that matter, for kids that are under about 11 or 12, is like, no, that's not appropriate. It's not developmentally appropriate. And it's part of what I see as the continual encroachment of this sort of postmodern identity politics propaganda into the education system.
So, for our viewers, I just want you to quickly explain the website you have going on and what exactly you're trying to do with that, just quickly.
Yeah, well, it's something that's only a beta version, but there will be some version of it coming up.
Yes.
I'm either going to do it simply and produce a very large, a set of words that are canonically politically correct / neo-Marxist.
Yes.
And so what people will be able to do is go through course descriptions and determine from the checklist whether or not the course that they're considering to take is part of the postmodern cult. And if they want to have that course, then they can go ahead and take it, but at least they'll know what it is that they're, what set of ideas they're being introduced to under the guise of whatever that course purports to be offering. And so they can make an informed decision. So you could think about it as a consumer information website.
Mm.
But the more advanced version of it that I hope will work properly is to train an artificial intelligence system to distinguish between postmodern and non-postmodern texts so that students can enter the course descriptions by themselves, along with the professor's name, along with the institution's name, and along with the discipline's name, so that there can be an online system built up that becomes increasingly widespread in its coverage so that students can find out who the people are who are leading these cults, so to speak, and which universities are at the head of it, and which professors are pushing it, and which disciplines have become corrupt, so that people can stop taking the damn courses.
Yeah.
They need to know what they're going to be taught in those courses and why.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's kind of sad about courses like that is that I believe that you can learn about 10 principles that underlie the postmodern doctrine, and you've pretty much learned the entire intellectual corpus that underlies the courses themselves. It's like it's formulaic. You learn 10 or 11 principles that you've
got to apply. It's a sequence of statements. It's not even arguments.
Well, it's an algorithm in a sense, and the algorithm allows you to analyze any set of political or economic phenomena and to diagnose them from a postmodern perspective. And that's not what education does. Education helps you delve into the devil in the details of things and not to broadly paint everything with the same ideological brush.
Yeah.
We should stop and go listen to Ben.
All right.
All right.
I'll leave free. Go to Ben. All right.
Thank you, Dr. Peterson.
Level .media. That was just Jordan B. Peterson.